How much time do you waste chasing team members for updates and repeating yourself in emails over and over again? Do you ever wonder if meetings are actually moving the needle or just wasting time? In today's episode, we're diving deep into the soft skills that can make or break your project success. Quick question again. Have you ever asked yourself, how well can you read the room, or what happens when problem solving just isn't enough? Listen, family, we've all been there. I've been there. And I know if you go on this journey or falling in love with this thing called project management, you're going to be there. But I warn you, just one of these tips will not be enough to help. Yeah, no. You're going to have to test, experiment with a combination of these tips. If I was you, I would definitely stick around to see how I can add this to my project management playbook. And by the way, family, number five is really my favorite or my first go-to tip, but hey, I have to keep it at five. So you'll pay attention one through four. Let's go. Let me tell you a quick story. I probably will get in trouble for this, but this is what I do for you guys, family. There was this project team member that every time I would schedule a meeting, they would show up to the meeting unprepared. And when I say unprepared, I mean that I would send them an email and say, hey, these are the things I want to discuss. Could you basically answer the questions? And so all we need to do is really address any impediments or problems, or if we need to bring in other resources, because the main goal was to bring in other resources. So they showed up and it happened once. They showed up and it happened twice. I get people three times there. Just like baseball, you're out. And so the third time it happened, I said, okay, I didn't even say anything. I said, hey, you know what? And I said, let's just go ahead and cancel today's meeting because it just seems like we're not making any progress. So they were a little caught off guard. So I started communicating with them on email and I copied the vice president. Probably after the second email, the vice president pinged me and was like, hey, do you have a moment for a quick chat? Of course I do. You know, that's what I was looking for anyway. And so I get on the phone with the vice president and say, hey, I'm noticing I wouldn't really want to get a lot of emails, which is not a problem, but I see you copying me on this email to one of these, to a direct report. Is everything okay? And I just got him to explain. I said, hey, every time that I schedule a meeting with this direct, with one of your direct reports, they do not come prepared. I set them up for success and give them everything they need to be prepared for our meeting, and they still do not deliver. So what do you want? I got to a point where I just felt like I didn't want to waste their time nor my time. And because I really felt like time is the most valuable asset. You get your money back. You get so many different things. But time is that asset, especially as a project manager. You have other things that are going on, and you have other roadblocks, or you're putting together artifacts. So I just didn't want to waste this person's time. So maybe I thought that it was best communicating with them via email. I just wanted you to be aware of it. Now, family, I understand the story may seem extreme because as a project manager, you're supposed to be the problem solver. But a lot of times when people make the decision, not the choice, to not really collaborate with you, when they make the decision to not to come to the meeting after you're giving them everything, I can see if you weren't giving them everything to set them up for success, it gets to a point where there's no more point of us going back and forth from this meeting. So I might as well just start the documentation process. Let's get into the point number one. Read the room to gauge team's dynamics. A lot of people do not read the room. Family, you as a project manager, you need to read the room. What do you mean read the room? If you work on site, you need to be paying attention to body language. You need to see how people, are they engaged? Are they disengaged? Are they contributing? Are they not contributing? And because see, what you're going to realize is when they're disengaged, there's an underlying issue that really needs to be addressed. And the only way you can address that is getting them engaged. One of my techniques that, here's an actionable tip. One of the things that I like to do, because you do have people that are not engaged because they're either quiet, they're the quiet type, but they have some great information to share, or they're a little nervous because they say public speaking is the number one fear. So what I do, family, just to get them engaged is when I'm wrapping up a meeting, I go around the room and ask each individual, hey, do you have any questions, comments, or feedback? And I pause, and it gets really uncomfortable, but I do it because I want to give them an opportunity, because maybe they wanted to say something, but they say, oh man, you know what? I don't want to look this way. And they start going through all of this. But if I invite them into the conversation, it is a bet. And I'm telling you, this works so much. That's why I made this number one. You have to understand what you do. This is going to open up the conversation a little bit better. And again, you want to also, as an actionable tip, pay attention to tone of voice as well as their energy level. And the last and final tip is periodically ask for anonymous feedback. This is going to really help with the team morale as well. Point number two, leading meetings with a purpose. I shared that story with you. This is why I get so protective of my time as a project manager, because I don't want to waste the project team, the stakeholder, or most of all, my time. But a lot of that time, a lot of that could be something that I'm doing wrong, meaning the meeting wasn't clear. There is a confusion that is going on. And so when that happens, team members have more of a delayed decision-making process. What do you mean by that, Indy? What I mean is that they're like, oh, here we go, we're going to another meeting, and they're not going there to really provide updates or to solve a particular problem that they're experiencing because the meeting wasn't clear. Now, there you could have an agenda in place. I've led meetings where I have strict agendas in place, but I have also had meetings where we're talking about three topics, and most of the time it's around the task items as well as the risk. So you want to, here's some actionable tips regarding that. Keep the meeting focused, manage time effectively, and ensure everyone has a choice to contribute. Here's another, this is off topic, but on topic. When you're interviewing as well as for a project management role, let's say the meeting is, the interview is scheduled for 30 minutes or an hour. When you notice it get to, let's take the hour mark, it's 50 after. You should say, hey, we have about 10 minutes left and I want to be respectful of your time. Would it be okay if you haven't had a chance to ask your questions, or if not, just letting the person know? Because again, that time management as a project manager is going to be key. And when you're in a meeting, and especially when you have back-to-back meetings, you want to make sure that you're getting into the meeting, getting the information that you need, as well as providing the proper support and getting out of that meeting. We can end the meeting early. Hey, we're going to end it early. I don't want to have a meeting where it's not functional, where it's not beneficial to the project team, stakeholders, as well as myself. And then always at the end, what I also like to do, and I start doing more of this, is summarizing my key points at the end of the meeting. When I say at the end, not of course, the meeting recap, but I'm talking about, hey, these are the three things I believe we discussed. Correct me if I'm wrong, one, two, or three, or how many items there is. Because what happens is you can also reinstate the timeline that they agreed on. You can also reinstate the actual actionable item, because they may correct you and say, oh, no, that's going to go to Becky. So I'm not going to be working on it. You're right. My apologies. And you get a chance to correct it right then and there. Point number three. Addressing chronic task reminders. Family, when you're constantly reminding team members of tasks, it's a deeper issue. Again, we have to take accountability as project managers, but also the project team has to take accountability, because it may be a workload issue. It may be an accountability issue. And you have to figure out, where is the issue falling at? What is actually going on? One of my actionable tips is meet with that person one-on-one and find out what's going on. Don't try to do it in more of your weekly, I call it more your weekly public meeting. Meet with them one-on-one and ask, say, hey, I keep sending you reminders about a particular task. Is everything okay? Or what is going on? And you may find out and say, hey, I get a lot of emails. And is there a different way that we could communicate? Of course. I'm so glad you said that. What will work best for you? Don't mention anything. Ask that question. What will work best for you? Even though it may be in the communication management plan that we all agree via email is the best, but maybe this person is getting way too much emails that they can handle. And if you want to get your email answered, maybe say, hey, this is what you need to do. Also, negotiate with team members on their own deadlines and get them to publicly commit to them. One of my things that I love doing is when I ask the project team member, hey, when will you get this done by? And let's say they say Friday. I say, can we meet in the middle? Can we do Wednesday? Man, I don't think I may be able to. Okay, how about this then? Since we can't meet in the middle, how about Thursday? You have to use your negotiation tactics, tactics in order to lead the team effectively, because they're going to put as much buffer in there as possible. But then what will end up happening, they'll wait till the last minute. So you want to find a happy medium. That way, if it lands on Friday, you already knew that, but you're still pushing them in a way of trying to get it done instead of waiting to the last minute. Point number four, improving email responsiveness. Unread or ignored emails can lead to communication breakdowns as well as project delays. This is another one of my favorite family, because one of the things I started studying to help with my email, to get responsive to my emails, I don't think I've shared this before, but I started studying copywriting. I started copywriting, and this is my version of what copywriting is. Basically, it's like a sales letter, somebody getting you to buy something, somebody trying to persuade you in a way. I started studying copywriters like Russell Brunson. It was a lot of other guys that I started studying. The reason why I started studying these people is because one of the main things as a project manager is you need to get people to respond to your emails. And you got to make your subject of your email interested. It has to be almost like a hook, as they say. A hook being, I need to grab your attention as fast as possible versus all the other emails that you're getting. So some of the things I'll do is I'll put in there in big bold letters, urgent, alert. And the reason why I do that is because I'm letting them know, hey, this is an urgent this is an urgent matter. I need you to respond effectively. So I'm already into actionable tips if you haven't picked up what I'm laying down. The point of it all is that you have to be persuasive in the way that you put out emails. You're like, oh, why do I have to do that? Why can't I just put a boring subject title and just type up a long email? Because listen, guys, people are busy and they're not going to prioritize your email. If you want your email prioritized, you need to make your subject line more action orientated than anything. Point number five, the one that I told you, if you stuck around to pay attention, then you're going to be shocked. But it's so simple, so common. Most people don't do it because as a project manager, we want to show what we know. Like we really know our project and we know, but I'm telling you right now, this is what you need to do for number five. Develop active listening skills. Active listening improves understanding and makes the team feel valued. Here's some actionable tips. Practice paraphrasing to confirm and understand in conversations. Maintain eye contact and use nonverbal cues to show engagement. And the last final one, avoid interrupting and allowing for moments of silence and discussion. One of the things I love doing is the first actionable tip. When someone says something to me, I paraphrase it in a way to let them know I am actually understanding and I'm paying attention to them in the actual conversation. Point number six, improve written communication for clarity. Clear written communication is vital for teams as well as documentation. Here's your actionable tips. I always encourage project managers to use bullet points. I talked about it before, using catchy subject lines just for easy scanning. If you're scrolling through your phone and use a title or a thumbnail or something catchy, you're like, wait, what is this? And you want to be able to do that. And also, here's another, this is a powerful tip, family. Taking those bullet points, especially if they're actionable items, and sending them through an instant message, whether it's Teams or it's Slack, you get where I'm going. Point number seven, enhancing time management skills. Good time management is crucial for meeting deadlines and managing workload. I cannot say that enough. I cannot stress that enough. When you learn how to manage your time more effectively, here's two actionable tips. You will be able to have more focused work sessions. One of the things that I've done, if I notice a team or a project team member is not executing well enough, I will block off their calendar and we will get on a call and we'll walk through the task or tasks that they need to do. because something is happening where it's pulling their time. And maybe they're just one of those people that they love helping people. So I need to assist them and get that roadblock out the way. Point number eight, improving delegation skills. Effective delegation empowers team members and prevents manager burnout. Family, always admit to you guys, I struggle with that from time to time of delegating. It's not to say, oh, my work is better. It's just that I want to make sure the team is getting the proper support. So sometimes I will fall back into my old ways, but delegating is the key thing. Here's some actionable steps. Clearly define levels of authority when delegating tasks. Follow up on delegated tasks with a coaching mindset. That is key, family. That coaching mindset. You want to be leading people and helping them formulate the answer of their own, but you want to ask the probing questions to allow them to get to the answer. Point that, excuse me, here's my, I have two bonuses and then my closing remarks. Enhancing presentation skills. Having the ability to deliver a strong presentation skill is crucial. If you're able to convey ideas that are so super technical that you can explain it to someone that has no technical knowledge or savvy regarding what the technical item is going to be key. And you may be put in situations like that. And then finally, also being able to gain stakeholder buy-in. Here's my actionable tips. Provide opportunities for team members to present an internal meeting. That is key. Have them present to you and the rest of the team. Offer constructive feedback on presentation structure and delivery, and as well as encourage the use of storytelling techniques in presentation. That I do that now. I'm always constantly trying to share a story with you that has happened in my professional career or even in my personal career that I've learned from that I want to share with you. The last and final bonus tip is develop negotiation skills. Developing negotiation skills. Negotiating is a key in managing stakeholders' expectation as well as resolving conflict. Here's your actionable tip. Teach principal negotiation techniques, basically getting to the yes methodology. Having the ability to practice negotiation with your team, because a lot of times when a team is giving you their timelines or they're having to work with another team, so you need to be able to coach them and say, hey, do you want me to come in and show you an example of how we can get that other team to deliver so you can beat your deadlines? And most of the time they say, yeah, you can assist me with that. And then you hand it over to them after you meet with them one-on-one and say, what did you learn from that? And how could you spin that to make it your own? And then finally, encourage a win thinking in all negotiation. Here's my three closing remarks, family. First, point number one, improve written communication for clarity. Like I said, when you are sending out emails, especially this is I consider it, they say it may be a hard skill, but I really think this is truly a soft skill to be able to take a message and condense it down into bullet points that is something that is readable and actionable for the end user. You want to make sure that you have something in your subject line that is catchy, to get someone to stop scrolling through their email so they'll actually read their email. Point number, or my other one, was developing an active listening skill. So many people are so quick to talk and so quick to tell you what they know. And I see a lot of project managers do that instead of sitting back, maintaining eye contact and using nonverbal cues to show engagement. And the biggest thing is paraphrasing to understand the conversation. And then my last and final one is what I always tell you guys about and I always share about. And this is something I practice day in day is reading the room to gauge the team dynamics. Sometimes you're going to, as a project manager, you're going to have to engage people that are not engaging with you. I know it's frustrating. It's like, why are you on this call if you're going to be silent? But it's, again, like I said, the number one fear is public speaking and they may not feel comfortable. So you need to be engaging with them and saying, hey, any questions, comments, or feedback from you? By the way, do you have any thoughts about today's conversation? You want to get them talking and feeling comfortable. And sooner or later, you won't even have to do that because they'll automatically be jumping on it. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. I really, truly thank you for tuning in today. Until next time.